Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Gregory Crawford on Basketball Show. We do this show every Wednesday night at 10 p.m. Pacific time, where we bring on various guests in the basketball world, and we really enjoy it. If you can't listen live at 10 p.m., this show is always podcast on Blog Talk Radio. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. And then punch in Gregory Crawford on basketball. You'll get every show I have ever done, along with the date of the show. And speaking of the date, we always talk the second Wednesday of each month to the outstanding coach at George Fox University, Mako Hamilton. We'll bring Mako on in just a second. And, of course, I am Gregory Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops, where I tweet a lot about animals and about the great game of basketball and sports business, which I love. But let's bring on Mako Hamilton. He coaches at George Fox University, the men's team. They're a member of the Northwest Conference. He is an outstanding basketball coach, and he is an outstanding person. Mako, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well, Greg. Thanks for having me on again.
My pleasure. You're going to be on every Wednesday throughout the year. We're going to keep this going even in the big goal. I'll ask you right off the bat. It always drives me a little bit crazy when someone who probably doesn't know says that somebody's having a great season, a bad season, an average season. I think it's okay for somebody to say, you just had a great game, or you didn't play well in that last game. But to me, only the coach knows really what kind of season you're having. How would you assess it with about 2 weeks to go in the Northwest Conference?
That's a great question, Greg. I think we're having, I guess I would say we're having an inconsistent season, if you will. And we, you know, I knew going in, we have such a young roster with so many new players to our program and then to the college game that they're going to be up and downs. And I think that's kind of been the case. We've had moments where we've played really well against really good competition. And you think, man, we're turning the corner. And then we followed up with just, you know, kind of stinker games, if you will, where, you know, we don't look like we belong on the court with our opponent. So it's been inconsistent. But with that said, I mean, we're really, really proud and pleased with the young men that we have in terms of just how hard they're working, their character, they're taking the coaching, they want to get better. And it's just a process in their growth that, you know, that we absolutely knew what we were getting into with that. And that's where we're at right now.
About this time of year, I know you have a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of energy, a lot of passion. How are you holding up? How's your voice holding up?
No, I'm doing great. I think my voice is probably looking forward to the off season because it'll give it, you know, plenty of time to rest. I don't usually raise it too much until the hoop season starts. But I have the same passion that I have, you know, day one of the season, and the excitement to get to the gym is still the same, and to work with these guys. I mean, in all honesty, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the year. It obviously brings disappointment because it's been such an enjoyable group to work with. And you hate to have closure to it, but we're cherishing each day, just looking at it as an opportunity to continue to get better, and that's what we have to do. I mean, we are definitely at a place right now where every day has value to what we're doing. And so with that, you know, I'm just continuing to push these guys, push myself to try to find ways to help us continue to improve before we head into the offseason.
Mako, I'm not discounting the rest of this season by any means. I want to make that perfectly clear. But I think our listeners, and we have a lot of them tonight, they love listening to you. You're a great interview, as I said on Twitter tonight. I think they'd kind of like to know, and you can have limited contact with your players. What's the most important thing you want your players to work on in the offseason? With that said, you and Linfield have the youngest team in the league, so you're going to have a lot of quality people back.
Yeah, you know, it's, there's kind of just general things that we want them working on. as it relates to just being better in our system. So that would, you know, obviously, one, it just starts with their physical strength. You know, when you have a young group, they're still, you know, physically maturing, so we need them to really be focusing on that. Second thing is just improving, you know, their skill level. I think that's a really important thing for basketball players these days, and we feel it's really important for us, their ball skills, you know, their ability to shoot the basketball, which are two very important facets of what we do. So that's kind of a general thing. And then individually, every kid has, you know, things that they can get better at, shore up, improve, make more consistent. And so with each and every one of our kids, you know, we'll give them kind of an individual plan on what we want them to attack this offseason to better themselves so that when they come back, you know, in the fall of 2016, that they're more consistent in those particular areas, and it'll help our basketball program out.
Speaking of having plenty of the season left, you've got plenty to deal with your next two games. You're going to play Whitworth and Whitman. I might have got them out of order there. I apologize, because to me they're just the W's. But they're awfully good in basketball, and they've developed some culture with their programs. But it doesn't mean that you're not going in there to win those games.
No, absolutely. I mean, we're, you know, this is a definitely looking forward to this trip. Obviously, the task is very daunting. Those are two outstanding basketball teams and programs without question. But again, as I've told our kids, I mean, every day for us is an opportunity to get better. At this point, you know, in our development, practice almost has more meaning than the games, because we can do a lot more to grow. But boy, the games are exciting, and it's a chance to measure, you know, the way that we've improved throughout the course of not only the season, but even the days leading up to those games. And so there's been things that we've been hitting on this week that are kind of reminders and refreshers to our guys. And so I always get excited heading into each weekend, because, you know, the previous weekend brings about things that we have to continue to get better at. And then we get an opportunity to emphasize those things in practice. And then obviously the week after that, we get a chance in those games to put them in practice. So I'm excited to see how our kids respond to those things that we challenge them with this week. And it'll be fun. It'll be a great, great environment and a great opportunity against two very, very outstanding basketball programs.
Mako, use your expertise here as you always do. Is it easier to see improvement in a young, kind of inexperienced player, or in a talented player that takes the next jump up and gets even better? Or is there even a difference? I'd like to know the answer to that.
Well, that's another great question, Greg. I think, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a clear-cut answer. I think in both cases, it's a little bit different. I think with the young and an inexperienced player, you kind of see that happen over time. You see that as they mature physically, as they mature mentally, you start to see that change. Obviously, a lot of it is just dependent upon how bad they want to get better. I mean, a lot of times young kids exhibit talent, or they show glimpses of something, but if they don't kind of hone in on that and really, you know, push themselves to better those things, then they kind of stall out. Whereas on the other side, you know, maybe a more talented player who has some abilities and has demonstrated some great things, you may see that improvement a little bit quicker, because maybe for them the point of reaching that ceiling is closer. But again, in the same instance, if they, you know, don't push themselves and have a desire to get better, then I think we've seen plenty of cases where kids just kind of remain, you know, good at times and bad at others, and then they don't ever improve. So I think in both cases, I think they're different on how it happens. I think, you know, maybe one, you see it happen quicker than another in such a case. But really, it really just kind of depends on the individual, to be honest. And I think that's probably the biggest factor of all.
Mako, is it, I don't want this to sound like a stupid question, because no question is stupid, but is it kind of good, like the way you're building for the future, to maybe this time of year get away on the road where there aren't, you know, the normal distractions, and you can work on some things, and it's kind of almost all basketball? And I know that the young people will be doing their homework, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say here. Is it kind of good to have a little road trip?
You know, I think everything that we get, honestly, Greg, is good for us. So whether it's, you know, taking a road trip like this for a lot of our guys, this will be their first experience to play at Whitman and Whitworth, you know, and taking a long bus ride to having a home game, you know, on a special night where we have a lot of people in the stands like we did a couple weeks ago, to having a home game, double overtime game, and having to turn around and get up really the next day and travel up north. I think everything that we do or that we're getting exposed to and experiencing right now is good for us. I think that's just kind of where we're at. I think, you know, there might be other programs in different situations where, yeah, we need to kind of get away. And a road trip would be good to kind of just refresh our minds and clear our heads. And I think that's great, and I don't dispel that at all. I think, you know, there's different aspects throughout the season that teams need. But I would really say for our particular group, I think everything that we're experiencing right now and that we have experienced are all things that are going to help in our development and get us exposed to things so that when we're in those situations now, a year from now and 2 years from now, they won't be first-time experiences. There'll be things that we'll be used to, and we'll be able to handle them, you know, handle them the right way, and use that as, you know, use these experiences that we're having now as a means to get better. So when we see them in the future, you know, we know how to deal with it.
Mako, changing the subject just slightly here. Last Friday night, I had the pleasure of sitting in the gym at Hudson's Bay. As they were playing Hawkinson. Both teams kind of had average seasons, but it was a tremendous high school basketball game, and it really was a snapshot of why I would love to see a shot clock in the state of Oregon. You know, it just made for a really fun game, and I think it's time for the state of Oregon in high school to get a shot clock. And I say that also as a big supporter of small college basketball. It certainly would help the student-athletes that go to small colleges with playing under a shot clock if they're from the state of Oregon.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. I was a huge proponent of it when Washington State developed the shot clock. You know, about 8 years ago. And I think it's something it's just necessary for the game of basketball. I mean, I think where we're at, you know, in 2016, the way the game's being played, you know, it's just the stalling the ball out, holding it for a lot of, I mean, that's old hat. I mean, that's just not how the game is played. And even teams that value possessions who don't play at an up-tempo system, you know, I mean, you'll be hard-pressed to find offensive systems that don't have pace and tempo to what they're doing. And the way the game is being played now, I mean, every offensive system, at some point, guys have to make individual, or I should say players, not just guys. Guys and gals have to make individual plays, you know, at some point. And so I just think it's just, you know, and there's a lot of states around the country that don't have a shot clock that need to adapt and catch up with the time. It's where it's at, and it doesn't hurt the game at all. I mean, a lot of proponents for not adding a shot clock say it hurts the game, it takes away from the fundamentals, and I completely disagree with that. I think it forces kids to improve their fundamentals, their ball skills, their ability to make decisions with the ball in their hand. It forces you to learn how to pass, you know, a variety of different ways, different angles, and just improve the skill, and the skill is what is fundamental to basketball. So I would hope at some point, you know, Oregon would adopt that, as I think every state in our country should, and it would be better for the kids, and by golly, it would be better for us to go and watch these high school games.
Yeah, very well said, very well said. Totally, totally agree, 100%. One more question generically about basketball, but specifically relating Northwest Conference. I'm probably not on their Christmas card list, but that's okay, because I'm in the top five of promoting the league, and I'm proud of that in the media. But I went last night, Mako, to the Linfield Lewis and Clark game. The men's game started at 8:00. I got home about 11:20. It's too late. It's too late. I mean, even on a Friday and Saturday night, and I realize the Saturday games have gone to 6:00, but that's hard on people. And I think something's got to be done there. That's my own opinion as a fan and somebody that wants the Northwest Conference to succeed.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that is a constant, debate among coaches and administrators in our conference. I think, it's just one of those deals where, there's pros and cons of each side, and I think picking a side one way or the other, someone's going to be upset. I can tell you from firsthand experience, those 8 o'clock games on Friday nights or the couple Tuesday games that we play, they're late nights, and it's tough to do. But it's one of those things where, there's things that I wish we could do different. It'd be nice to have a day in between games. We go back-to-back quite often in our conference, and it'd be nice to be able to have a day to kind of debrief and reflect and kind of focus for the next opponent and all those things. But at the end of the day, I've always said, and I know I've said it on your show as well, at the end of the day, we just have to, make best with what we're given. So obviously it's not always ideal, but everyone has to do it. And so we got to find a way to be great at it. And that's kind of the situation that we're in. And that's kind of my thoughts. It's one of those things where, we get on conference calls and coaches give opinions and talk quite often about different scenarios and people present good ideas, but there's always someone that can pinpoint, a negative to every situation. And that's just kind of how this one presents itself as well.
Well, I'll close this subject with one kind of editorial comment. I have the privilege of knowing and being a very close friend of the greatest sports marketer of all time, John Spoelstra, who son happens to be a pretty darn good basketball coach in the NBA. But like John always says, oftentimes fans are forgotten when it comes to sports. And the fans are forgotten on 8 o'clock games because, quite frankly, I counted the crowd last night. It was less than triple digits. So, and I know that would change if it wasn't an 8 o'clock game on a Tuesday night. So I'll leave it at that. Nico, who's playing well for you right now? And tell us a little bit if you want to mention somebody that I asked you this a month ago, but I think it's important again, who's playing well for you, who's kind of been a surprise. And even if you want to say who needs to pick it up, feel free.
I think with our team, I mean, obviously it makes complete sense, but piggybacking on what I said earlier, we've been very inconsistent. And I think that kind of speaks to answer that question in terms of who's playing well. We've had some phenomenal individual performances at various times this year from some of our young men. Thomas Rico, I mentioned him on your show before. He had a career-high 37 points and was 1 3-pointer away from our school record just 2 weeks ago when we had a thrilling double overtime victory over Pacific. J.J. Lacy, I've mentioned him before. He's continued to be our leading scorer and second rebounder, leading assist. He's a versatile kid. But really, I mean, every game, it kind of lends to, we'll have someone else step up and play well. And then a guy who we thought was going to play well maybe doesn't. It's just kind of been the ebb and flow of our team and of our season because we're so young, and that's just a part of it. But overall, I mean, our kids are doing a really good job. And we don't have anyone that's just kind of carrying the load, but we have a bunch of guys who when they're all playing with confidence and with good purpose, they do a lot of good things to help us out. So the hope is when you ask me this question next year, around this time, I'll be able to rattle off some names to you consistently. And that's what we're telling our guys. We need a few guys to kind of separate themselves. We need a couple Batmans here. We got a bunch of Robins right now, Greg. So hopefully in the next year, we'll get some guys that are putting himself in a position to do that.
Yeah, and I love that you got that in, because we're going to be talking a year from now and 2 years from now and 3 years from now, because as long as you keep me healthy, you're going to always be a big part of the shows that I do, and I appreciate you very much. Mako, I wanted to ask you, everybody likes to talk about at times in basketball in general about, oh, the lack of defense or the shooting isn't what it used to be. But the one area of the game that I'm seeing that seems to be digressing, and I guess I love it so much, is the passing game. I'm not seeing a lot of great passes out there. It's such a big part of basketball.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely is. And I think, you know, it's one of those deals where I just don't know how often it gets emphasized. And a lot of it depends on offensive systems as well. But, you know, I think just the way basketball is today and how magnified it is, you know, starting at a young level, it's the one sport where statistics have the biggest meaning and where individual players, you know, are seen visibly, and so their performances are very much put on a pedestal and dissected, where it just kind of takes away from those unselfish things. So you see a lot of kids who are all about, you know, making shots, finding ways to score. They feel like that's what they have to do in order to be seen by whatever the next level is, and so on and so forth. And so it has taken away from individuals who are just great playmakers, great passers. And I really hope, you know, that what's being emphasized by adults to younger kids as they watch, you know, college games or as they watch, you know, obviously professional games, and you can look no further than Golden State. You know, what's so amazing about them is not, you know, how many points they put up, but it's how they get those points. I mean, the way that they move the basketball, move bodies, they play such a free-flowing system that it very much emphasizes the skill level and the acumen of the individual players. And so hopefully that they're maybe setting a trend that a lot of kids will buy into, and we'll see a shift in that. Because it's very important to have, really not just to make the fancy pass, not like, you know, Magic Johnson used to do, but making the right pass at the right time to create, you know, great shots. And I think that's what's really important.
Mako, you're great in clinics. You talk about pressure defense and pressuring the ball and everything. What kind of has dictated to you in your coaching career the style you like to play offensively and defensively? Is it all about the players you have? Is it a mixture? Or do you look for the players that you want to have play your style, and that's going to be your style because it's what you know best?
Well, I think, first of all, it starts with the system that I've chosen to adopt. And I think, you know, that's always such a debatable question as coaches. Do you have a system that you're going to do no matter what type of players you get? Do you adapt, you know, your system based on the players you get? Do you try to get players to fit your system? And I guess to answer that question, as best as I can, Greg, I would say this. I think, you know, all great coaches have a system that they believe in. And if there was one way to do a certain thing in sports, then everyone would do it. But obviously there's a lot of different ways, you know, that teams can play. And so we have a system that we believe in. And really what it boils down to as a coach, and for me specifically, it's something that I believe in, that I love to coach and I love to teach, and then I feel most capable of teaching. And so then from that point, you know, then you have the flexibility to be adaptable. So, yes, we try to go out and recruit certain players that fit in what we do. Well, in a perfect world, we would get those guys all the time, but that's not always the case. So then, you know, so then we have to make adjustments or, you know, adapt to a degree to the guys that we have. Now, that doesn't mean all of a sudden one day we're just completely running an entirely different system. You know, at some point you have to have consistency in what you do, but we're able to make minor tweaks here and there without it looking very, you know, over the top to best fit the guys that we have. And so that's just how I do it. And I think a lot of great programs do it. And you see that. I mean, when you watch college basketball as an example, you know, North Carolina and Kansas and Duke, year in and year out, Michigan State, like your top programs, they're not changing what they do. You may see different wrinkles here and there, but they're doing the same things. And that's because those coaches believe in what they're doing and they're comfortable with it. And a lot of times, you know, at that level, of course, they're finding players who fit what they do.
Fabulous job tonight, Mako, per usual. Honor to know you, honor to have you on. And I know you've got a great sense of humor. So, Mako, I just crossed the threshold in 2015 to becoming a real senior. So I'm still looking I got my Medicare card, so I'm still looking for that team that's going to honor a legitimate senior on senior night. So.
Well, hey, you can come out to Newburgh, Oregon on Tuesday night, February 16th, because we will not be honoring any seniors, Greg, so you could have the floor all to yourself.
I threw that out because I knew you weren't. I appreciate it's not about me. It's about tremendous people like you who are shaping the lives of young men and women, as I often say, way beyond the basketball court. And I know you appreciate that role.
Oh, I absolutely do, Greg. Thank you so much for the kind words. It's always great chatting with you. And yeah, love what I'm doing. Love the ability to connect and impact kids' lives. And hopefully you'll be able to continue to do it for a long time.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Mako Hamilton, the outstanding head men's basketball coach at George Fox University. He joins us every second Wednesday, 10 p.m. Pacific time. And you don't even have to stay up to listen. If you don't like those 8 o'clock starts and you don't like 10 o'clock starts on the radio, this show is always podcast. So don't forget to go to it. Good night, everybody. And don't forget to make your free throws. Thank you for listening. Have a great week.